Binge the full week of The Ray Taylor Show ad-free over at patreon.com/inspireddisorder.
What you manifest in your mind, you can bring to reality.
A Quiet Place Part 2 just hit streaming services over on Paramount Plus is where I watched it. Follow-up, obviously, to A Quiet Place Part 1. Well, I guess it didn't call Part 1, but it's a follow-up. Looking forward to this one. I enjoyed very much the first one. I thought it was a beautiful piece of cinema in every way. This one is, again, written and directed by John Krasinski. I have to say it's a good follow-up to the first film, but not like if the first film is an A+, I would call this one like a B- if I had to rate it. There are some issues I have with this one, definitely. Definitely not as smart as the first one. Maybe, you know, the thing that happens a lot of times, especially with like first-time writer-directors, is like they'll have a story that they've been working on for years, and that story takes off, and they're greenlit to do a follow-up. So then they have like a year to take, you know, to try and make something to follow up something that they've spent, you know, exponentially more time doing. So I think maybe the fact that it was a rushed, and I don't know how rushed it was, but, you know, probably not taken with as much care, the writing of this story didn't work as well. But this one starts with a flashback to show how what happened in the invasion. It also allows this movie to introduce a new character that will show up. And it's also a way to bring back John Krasinski, since in the first film, spoilers, he doesn't make it. So in this one, it's a great way for them to, you know, for John Krasinski to get the acting credit as well, instead of just not being in it at all. Which is a fun, it's fun to see that how it all started. It's definitely a crazy action. It starts off pretty right off the bat with action. The only thing I would say that takes me out of the kind of flashback of the invasion is the fact that the kids are older. Like they're trying to play, technically they should be just a few months younger than they are in the events of the first film. But they clearly look a few years older, which, you know, what are you going to do? Kids get older. You make the movie later. I'm glad that they didn't do any like CG. I guess they could have and it would have been fine because it would have just been that opening sequence. But it starts off with that flashback of the invasion of people like running. And then they kind of figure out that making sounds is not a good thing. You know, kind of a cool thing. And then it jumps to just after the events of the first one. Although the first one ends with like all of these aliens kind of coming to attack their house. And they have this new ability with the hearing aid to zap them, audibly zap them so that the, you know, the mom could go around and shoot them all in the head. They don't show any of that. In this one, it's as if that didn't happen. Like they killed that one alien. And then that's it. So in this one, they're like getting ready to leave because the basement's still flooded. I forgot to in the first review talk about the whole baby coffin with the O2. But anyway, they get all their things to leave and they have to go to another thing. Like the dad planned out a couple other places that they could go, and there's a steel factory that's nearby that they go to, and you know, just kind of a new place to kind of protect them, and it's a new scenery, not as fun to look at, like a giant warehouse full of giant steel pipes and things like that, just like aesthetically not as interesting as the first one where there were different locations. But they go there, and the person that was in the flashback is now there, and he is the neighbor that is also alive, but never reached out to them for whatever reason. His wife had passed away. She got sick and died. So he's there. So you get, like, another adult male in this, which this movie did not need. At no point this character did not need that at all, but it is what it is. So they go there. They have this thing. Like, first off, before they leave to go to the steel factory, right, the daughter, who knows that she can amplify her hearing aid, what she does, she grabs an amp that's at their house, and she cuts off the power cable to that amp and then plugs in a microphone, and now it's a wireless amp somehow. This movie, like, there's a few stupid things in this movie. You can't cut a power cable off of an amplifier and it magically becomes a portable amplifier. Doesn't work. In this movie, which, when the whole thing that hinges the technology of this hearing aid, when Deus ex machina kind of device, this piece of technology that doesn't exist but is the one thing that can help them defeat these aliens, when you have that as the kind of main thing, you would expect that you would have the surrounding tech make sense. At least talk to somebody and sound like, go to a Best Buy and talk to somebody at Best Buy and be like, okay, this wired amplifier, if I cut the power cable off of this amplifier, does that now make the amplifier wireless? And you'll get your answer, no. But for whatever reason, in this movie, it makes it happen. But they get to this new place, and the daughter has this idea. Like, they find this radio station, and the daughter has this idea to go to the radio station that's playing this song. They think it's a code, that this song that keeps repeating, that they need to go to that radio station, that there's help, potentially help. But she wants to go there to broadcast her hearing aid signal over the radio to make all radios like a deterrent for these aliens, which is great. Of course, she leaves under protest. Like, her mom doesn't want to go. The son gets caught in a bear trap. For whatever reason, this guy that lives in the steel factory, right, he has a sniper rifle, and he's watching this family, who he knows, his neighbors, who he's been to baseball games with. They're coming, right? John Krasinski's not there, but it's the wife carrying a small child and two kids. And the older boy, the boy, steps in a bear trap, which, I don't know, like, you're going to stop these aliens with a bear trap? That's the thing that's going to deter, like, they literally tore through the side of a corn silo in the first one, and you think a bear trap is going, but it was effective enough to get that boy. So now he is disabled in this thing, not being able to do stuff. He's stuck with his limpy leg at the steel factory. The mom is going to go get things that she needs. She needs more oxygen for the baby when they put the baby in the baby coffin. But they need antibiotics for him so he doesn't get an infection and die. So she goes out to do that. There's this thing in the factory, in the steel mill, where they can go inside, and it's got like this door, this hatch that closes. But you have to put a towel in the latch, or else it'll close all the way and you'll be trapped in there. Of course, the moment I saw this thing, I'm like, there is going to be a character who gets trapped in that thing, and they are going to have the baby oxygen tank, because they showed multiple times the importance of this tank. This tank is very, you know, it's shown to be a very important thing. Obviously, the baby needs it. You know, the mom looks at the gauge. It's like, it's something like, okay, this is going to be an important thing. Like doing a close-up of the nail on the stair in the first one. It's like, oh, that's going to be an important thing later. Of course, what happens at later, you know, the mill is getting invaded by the alien, and the kid goes into the hatch with the baby because the mom is gone, the daughter's gone, the dude goes to track down the daughter to bring her back because she just went rogue on this mission to this radio station that's on an island.
So everybody's gone except for the kid's home watching the baby. So he has to go into the hatch and in a rush to get into the hatch before the alien gets him. He doesn't put the towel and bada bing, bada boom. The most predictable aspect of this movie happens where he is trapped inside of this little capsule, which they made a big deal of that it's airtight and that you have to open it. They set a timer because they know, which is, first off, the timer is calibrated for one person. It's not like they sat and did math for like what it would be like with three people in there. What would it be like with four people in there? What would it be like with two people in there? It's just whatever. It's just there's just a lot of little things that aren't as smart as the first one, which makes this a step down as far as I'm concerned. Whether it be the tech or just how characters act in general, it's a bummer. Let's see, where are we at? Yes, so that scene happens. Also, another thing that watching this movie, they're in a giant steel factory with a lot of giant steel doors and latches. And I don't know about you, but I've never met a giant metal door that opened and closed as silently as every single giant metal door does in this factory. It's not until, like, there's a scene, I forget where they're at. I want to say it's the girl on her mission, where she opens a door and the hinges on just a regular door squeak, and that's enough for obviously that's enough for the alien to attack. But for whatever reason, these are the most silent, and there's a lot of instances in this movie where you're watching it, and you know they just took the sound out, because the things that they are doing would cause sound. But because you can't have sound in this movie, they just removed them from the film. They just didn't put sounds in there. And it's noticeable. It's just noticeable that things are happening and then just no sound is, like, it just doesn't match. What you're seeing and what you're hearing don't match. As in the first one, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. The sound design is perfect in the first one. Sound design in this one, not so much. Not so much. But anyway, so then it follows the girl, which is probably the best part of the story, is this girl's adventure trying to go to this radio station. Of course, she goes, the dude, the friend, helps her out, like he's there because, you know, you need to have an adult male around for things to get done. Like, this movie could have gone away with that character altogether. Could have just been this girl on her mission by herself, although she does run into boat people, which don't make any sense. Just out of nowhere, there's a community of people on the docks, right, where aliens can get to the boats. Apparently, aliens can't swim, but they can get on boats, and these boat people are alive. Not only are they alive, somehow they're not killing each other, despite the fact that they are just insane people. It's just like so random that, like, all of a sudden, like, the idea is that the guy found this dock. Like, he found boats so the girl and him can sail to get to the island, to this radio station. And when they get to the dock, then all of these boat people emerge. And it's just like out of nowhere, these boat people emerge. And they like take her hostage, like they're going to rape her or something like that. And they get out of it. And it's a cool scene. You know, their aliens attack, all kinds of thing. It's a callback to the very beginning of this film where this random character that doesn't need to be there, their neighbor, asks her how to dive. Like, they're at a baseball game and he's trying to yell at his kid to dive. Which is not what you say. You don't say dive when you try to slide into a base. But whatever. It helps for this moment because she's literally told to dive by him while she's being taken away. It's a crazy scene. It just doesn't make a lot of sense. It's just a crazy scene to have a crazy scene. Like, there's a few jump scares in this movie, which did get me. The jump scares got me. But they're just there because there's not a whole lot of tension necessarily. Like, they're there just to be jump scares. So anyway, the boats, they find out, they actually get on the boats, they go to the island, and they find out that people are living on this island perfectly fine without any problems, right? And the radio station they had, they were playing that song as a clue on the radio station. They go to the radio station. Of course, the radio station is playing a vinyl record that somehow is looping a single track on. Like, I don't know if, like, you can't cut a power cable off of an amp and make it wireless. Giant steel doors are going to make a shitload of noise. You can't hit repeat on a record player to play a single song over and over again. Like, if you're going to have a radio station play a song over and over again, why don't you make the radio station modern, as the movie is, and just show a computer screen with the song title and then a little logo for repeat on it, repeat track. And there you have your, then you have a believable way to play a song over and over again. But aside from that, if you have a community on this island that knows that the mainland is invaded by these aliens, and you want to tell those people on the mainland that there is a sanctuary on an island, instead of playing a song that mentions going to the sea, why not have a human being in the radio station talking? Hey, everybody, if you can hear this, you can come to the island. This is the island's name. Short way, short trip from the coast. Make sure you don't bring any aliens with you. But there's no aliens on the island because aliens can't swim. Why wouldn't you have just, it's not like the aliens would have been able to listen to the radio and understand English and know that they, like, they don't have to use code to communicate with other humans that the island is a sanctuary. It's like overly complex. It's like doing an impersonation of a smart movie. But it's not, it's like overly complicated. So they go into this radio station. Obviously, an alien lands on a boat and somehow drifts to the island. So now the island is being invaded by this alien. Everybody's dying. So they go to the radio station in order for her to do the thing. And it's like this last minute thing where they get into the radio station and she finally turns the thing on. Like, this entire journey, she hasn't used the piece of technology that she discovered in the previous film can deter and repel these aliens. Doesn't use it until the very end. She's in the radio station. She finally turns it on. And it's like, oh, it's hurting me. She takes it off of her head, which makes it not hurt her anymore. So she could have just turned it on at any point without it affecting her. She could just hold it and hold it up to the alien, and the alien will freak out. Doesn't happen until the end of the thing. And, of course, the last minute, right? First time in this radio station. She knows exactly the button to push to make the microphone go live. And she puts the thing up to the microphone, and, you know, it does what it does. But it was fun. I mean, it was fun to revisit that world again. You know, that world where you have to be quiet. Although they're not that quiet. Like, silence isn't treated. It's just like, it really, it felt like a lazy second film. I enjoyed it, but compared to the first one, it's not even close. There's just so many things that are just like, this stupid. It's just stupid. But it is what it is. I enjoyed it. I'm sure, like, you know, like I said, I don't know if I mentioned this on this episode of The Last of Us. If I gave the first one an A+, this is definitely a B-, or maybe a C+. It was good. It wasn't horrible. It was good. And the end is pretty good. I mean, you see, you know, she's, while she's doing the radio thing, the boy is back in the hatch, dying from lack of oxygen as the mom gets back. The mom gets back and sees that the alien is there and she has to deal with the alien. And she runs into the thing, but make sure the towel's there this time so that they can breathe. They had the oxygen tank. You know, it's kind of like this last minute thing. And then the radio, they check the radio and it's playing the feedback thing and it works. So there's the scene where the girl is like going up to the alien, you know, backing it down. And then it cuts to the boy doing a similar thing where it's backing down. It's almost like a coming of age kind of moment for both of those characters, which was cool. But overall, it was a good movie, not a great movie, and just not nearly as smart as the first one. Not nearly as smart. It really wanted to be, but it really, it's just basic stuff, too. Just basics. Squeaky doors. I think we know that giant metal doors are going to be squeaky. Cutting power cable, like you cut the power cable off of your TV, doesn't make it a portable TV. You know? But whatever. It was a fun movie. Still had a lot of tense action moments, horror moments, jump scares. It still had all of those things. It was a fun watch, but definitely not as, you know, definitely not as smart as the first one. But check it out if you're looking for a good scary movie to watch. A Quiet Place Part 2. I'm down for a Part 3. You know, let's see the two kids on their own. Like they know how to kill him now, and maybe it turns into like kind of a zombie type of a situation where the humans are the enemy instead of the aliens. Who knows? Who knows if there'll be a Part 3? If the trend stays on course, I would not be excited for a Part 3. Just because unless it comes out in a few years, like if it's not rushed and they take their time to write an actual smart script, I'd be down. And to take time to make sure that the audio makes sense in the film. But anyway, it's on Paramount Plus right now, A Quiet Place Part 2. Get yourself $25 in new credit when you sign up for your great new cell phone service over at Ting. Go through my link, inspireddisorder.com/Ting. Sign up now with that link, and you get yourself $25 to put towards a new device, put towards your service. But it's a great quality service that you do not pay an arm and a leg for. I love it. I've been using it for years and pay so very little. I could almost pay 2 months of my cell phone bill with $25 credit that you get for free when you go through my link, inspireddisorder.com/Ting. That's T-I-N-G, inspireddisorder.com/Ting. Make sure you follow Keith Spurlock on Twitter, @KeithSpurlock1. New episodes of The Ray Taylor Show come out every single day. Subscribe on IGTV, YouTube, and everywhere else podcasts are found. Binge the full week ad-free over at patreon.com/inspireddisorder. Buy Ray Taylor Show merch over at inspireddisorder.com. And follow the show on Instagram, @RayTaylorShow. Have a wonderful day, everybody. Peace out!